The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, I'm beginning to sound like a stuck record. I always say there's a newsy day in Israel. It's a newsy day in Israel again, isn't it?
Well, I tell you, if this is not social distancing radio at its absolute best, then I don't know what is. But yeah, it is very much a newsy day in Israel, as it is around the world. And, you know, headlines are dominated by COVID-19, the coronavirus crisis. And Israel is no different. And just to all of you, wherever you are, especially to medical professionals on the front line, pharmacy workers, supermarket workers, just thank you for everything that you're doing. And for all of you in Chai FM land, wherever you are in the world, you know, we're all in this together and we'll recover together. That is my hope.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful hope. And I must say, I don't think the world will go back to be the same place after this. Too many fundamental things have caused a shift, I think. But yeah, tell us what's going on in Israel, Rolien.
Okay, so let's look at where Israel is. And I have to start this off by just paying tribute to the incredible people of this country who on Thursday night from the north to the south clapped their hands wherever they were on their balconies or in bidud, as we call quarantine, flicked their lights on and off to say thank you to medical professionals. We are up to 1,238 confirmed cases of COVID-19. 24 of those are severe or are serious. And we very, very sadly lost 88-year-old Holocaust survivor Arya Eden this weekend. He was Israel's first fatality because of the COVID virus. But we've also had, very important stat, 37 people recovered and released. In the West Bank, there are 57 cases of COVID-19. 17 of those have also recovered and been released, and Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority have ordered the whole of the West Bank on mandatory lockdown for 2 weeks. In Gaza, we have two cases of COVID-19, two residents of the Gaza Strip who had returned from Pakistan. And there were reports earlier today that aid that was being sent in from Israel into the Gaza Strip, testing kits, Alcogel and disinfectant, was turned away by Hamas. And this is a situation we cannot afford for the Gaza Strip to have.
That's really interesting you say that, Rolien. An article that I read some time ago already said that this is Israel's worst possible case scenario, that it takes root and spreads in Gaza.
Well, nobody wants a crisis situation on our doorstep. We don't want that for anybody, and we most certainly don't want it in our region. The numbers in Italy, even though they are still high, they're starting to come down gradually. We hope they continue to decline. But this is a problem that is, I think, has united the world and is far bigger. And I still can't believe that BDS, or whatever they've decided to call themselves these days in South Africa, pushed forward with IAW last week. I think they were the only country where they did this. The rest of us are all united with a much, much bigger fight at the moment, and that is eradicating the world of COVID-19, of this coronavirus.
Hear you loud and clear, absolutely. Rolien, and yet against the backdrop of all these developments, there's still shenanigans politically.
Well, I think shenanigans is the only way to describe this. I mean, this is just ridiculous. So we had the issue last week where Yuli Edelstein, because the blue and white and their alliance want him voted out as Speaker of the Knesset, he closed the Knesset, or he shut down the Knesset. Now, this, despite pleas from President Rivlin to open the Knesset, and there has been a protest called the Black Flag Protest over the last couple of days, where people have put black flags on their balconies. It's resulted, unfortunately, in the firing of somebody like Musi Aharish, a very, very well-known and respected journalist here, for having such an overtly political opinion. And there's been issues on the formation of the unity government. Benny Gantz has agreed to sit with Netanyahu, as has Gabi Ashkenazi, although we've got elements in the blue and white like Yair Lapid and Moshe Yaalon who say they don't want to. We've had issues where the High Court have issued a directive to Yuli Edelstein to hold a vote for his replacement within the next several days. It was two, but he has received an extension. He opened the Knesset literally a couple of hours ago for very, very important discussions on the formation of the Arrangements Committee. This is a vital committee at the moment because this is the committee that's going to push forward and deal with the issues that we face as a result of the coronavirus. And for those of you keeping score and calling Israel an apartheid state, please note that the first Arab Haver Knesset or member of Knesset to wear a hijab, she addressed what is the plenum of the Knesset now, which is literally six people at a time, but was televised. And she addressed that and she paid tribute to Arab medical workers on the front line and working here in Israel. So if you're keeping score with that one. And then if we didn't have further drama, Simon, I mean, you know, really, when we go big, we go big. Had two members of the Likud, the Justice Minister, Amir Ohana, and the Tourism Minister, Yariv Levine, saying that Yuli Edelstein should ignore the directive of the High Court. This, of course, has led to a verbal embasing from the blue and white. To say that it's been eventful is an understatement. But, yeah, there we go. Now we've just had news in right this very minute that the police are investigating 135 Israelis suspected of violating their quarantine. So this is very, very serious, as well as 21 people for spreading fake news about the virus. That is very, very, very severe. There are penalties in place for that. And also 32 businesses that what they are calling flagrantly violating the directives. So we are taking this very, very seriously.
Yeah, I was actually talking just a little while ago about the fact that you organized a flight to Peru to bring back so many Israelis who were stranded there, and that was a beautiful story. However, the press this morning was reporting that one of the returnees refused to sign and agree to the quarantine order of 14 days. Well, wow, it's okay to take the plane, it's okay to take the free tickets, but I don't feel like staying at home for 2 weeks to take care of my community. I mean, it's just...
Let's just talk a second about that plane. And I actually was very privileged yesterday to speak to the pilot. His name is Ofer Aloni. I'm hoping to interview him for an article in the next couple of days when he's back from the next rescue mission. And that is off to Australia for Israeli stranded there. So it's an extraordinary feat, and something that we're very, very proud of at the moment in Israel is this, we leave no man behind, but we do expect all that return to go into quarantine. And for people out there who think that coronavirus is just the flu or you value your freedom too much, this is very, very serious. You only have to look at the pictures, the images coming in from Italy, from Spain, to see the effects that this virus is having. So yeah, you guys, we have 2 weeks excuse to sit on our phones at home and watch Netflix. I mean, you're never going to get this offer again in your life, please God. But please respect that maybe you might feel okay, but it's who you might affect. So please, guys, please respect the other and help stop the spread of this virus. The sooner we stop it, the sooner we can get back to living our lives normally and going out and doing all those.
Rolene Marks, as unsurprisingly, we've run out of time. Can we carry over the Columbia story until tomorrow?
Simon, how can I refuse you anything?
Rolene Marks, thank you so much, and we look forward to catching up with you tomorrow, where we will hear about Columbia University supporting taking a stand against anti-Semitism. Thank you, as always, Rolene Marks.